ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدني علما. Now we will look at سورة الفلق. استفسير. سورة الفلق. This is a Makki surah. This is an amazing surah about which the Prophet ﷺ said that there was not a surah like it in the Torah nor the Injil. There was no surah like it in any other book revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the mankind. Like Surah Al-Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, and Surah An-Nas. So there is great virtue in these surahs, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not sleep at night without reciting these surahs. These are called the Mu'azzatain, named for Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas. Some people do their tafsir together, as they are recited together, and they were revealed together. Their number of revelation is 20. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would recite these surahs upon his grandsons, Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ibn Abbas, "Shall I not teach you surahs that are of great virtue for seeking the protection for those seeking protection?" He said, "Of course, O Prophet of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Recite قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ." These two surahs are the best protection. So once Uqba asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Shall I recite Surah Yusuf and Surah Al-Hud?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Uqba, recite Surah Al-Falaq, as it is most beloved surah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the most comprehensive, and do not leave its recitation." These short surahs, which we normally do not consider as important as the longer surahs, rather these surahs have great virtue and are magnificent and have many hidden meanings. We will look at Surah Al-Falaq. When was this surah revealed? When someone did magic on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the only effect it had on him was that he would forget which wife he had visited and who he had not. So these were the only effects of the black magic that was done upon him. It is said that Jibreel alayhi salam came and informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a Yahud had done witchcraft or black magic on him, and what was used to instill the magic, and that it was in a certain well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent men there, and the companions retrieved of something that had done magic on it. The thing has 7 knots tied upon it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he opened each knot, recited Surah Al-Falaq and Surah An-Nas upon it. So both surahs combined with their 11 ayahs and the number of knots tied with the magic were 11. So as he recited each ayah of these surahs, it would open each knot. This is how the Prophet ﷺ became cured. Even while Jibreel ﷺ informed the Prophet ﷺ about the Yahud who had done this magic, and the Prophet ﷺ knew who he was, yet he never avenged the Yahud his entire life, nor did he show any signs of complaint or dislike on his face in his presence. He would come to the Prophet ﷺ as a hypocrite. In another narration recorded in Al-Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that when a Yahud bewitched the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the effect it had on him was that he felt he had done something while he had not done it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed him of his ailment and said, "In my dream, two men came. One sat by my head and the other sat by my feet. The one sitting near my head asked, 'What is wrong with this man?' The other said, "He is bewitched." The first one said, "Who bewitched him?" He said, "Labid bin Asim, who was a hypocrite and an ally of the Jews." The first one asked, "With what did he bewitch him?" The other replied, "With a comb and a hair from the comb." The first one asked, "Where is the comb?" The other responded and said, "In the dark bark of a male date palm under a rock in a well called Darwan." The Prophet ﷺ went to the well and had the comb with the hair removed and said, "This is the well that I saw in my dream." Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, "Why didn't you announce it?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Allah cured me, and I do not like it to spread the news of wickedness to any of the people." So this had ailed the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ for about 6 months. Those companions who learned that Labid bin Asim had done this asked the Prophet ﷺ to kill him. The Prophet ﷺ gave the same response that he gave to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. It is also narrated that there was a young Yahud boy who served the Prophet ﷺ. The hypocrite convinced him to bring the comb of the Prophet and use the hair of the Prophet ﷺ upon it to do magic. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these two surahs, and when the Prophet ﷺ recited these surahs, its effect ended. Now we will look at the surah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Say, I seek refuge with Allah, the Lord of Al-Falaq, the dawn. If we look at the meaning of a'udhu, what does it mean? What is seeking refuge? It means taking protection of someone and coming under the refuge of someone to save from loss or harm. It means holding on to someone and getting their protection. And we are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say قُل, to ask and say. And here the attribute of Allah is mentioned as Rabb of dawn, when the morning rifts through the darkness of the night with His permission, as every night is covered with intense darkness. Then the morning light rips through the darkness as the rays of light, as curtains of darkness of night are ripped by the ray of this light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord who does this. He is the Lord, the sustainer of this falaq. When the darkness spreads, He is the one who brings an end to the darkness, one who removes the darkness. How? When the attribute of Allah, Rabbul Falaq, comes, then we see there are darknesses in life of a human, and the light is needed in the life of mankind. So He is the one who brings forth this light and removes the darknesses with it. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can rip out the light from the darknesses of the night, similarly, He can remove the darknesses in the people's lives. Some people are in darkness of sadness, grief, difficulties, or problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can remove them. We seek refuge in the Lord of Al-Falaq. But from what? For example, if an enemy is chasing someone and the person is running and comes under protection of someone. And what does one seeking protection want? They want protection from the enemy. Here, who is the enemy? Which evil are we running to Allah and seeking His protection? مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. From the evil of what He has created. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, and whatever evil that it contains, we seek protection from all that. Everything that Allah created in this world has good and some evil. Some things are only evil, such as the shayateen, certain animals, and venomous insects. They are evil in their nature, but even things that have good have evil in them. But how is that? For example, rain. Rain is a mercy of Allah, but when it rains too much, it becomes trouble. Also, eating the best and healthy food. That gives strength, such as butter, and it is a mercy. But if one overeats it, it becomes trouble for the person, and it becomes evil. Wealth is a blessing of Allah. However, if it takes a person to sin and disobedience of Allah, then that wealth becomes trouble. Children are a mercy of Allah, but if they become disobedient, they become trouble, and that is its evil. Everything that is good and beneficial, with the aspect of its goodness in it, also has bad in it, or an evil aspect to it. So whatever Allah has created, even if it be our children, our wealth, or our health, and our life, whatever that has evil aspect in it, we ask Allah for protection from it. We want to gain protection of Allah from its evils. So we ask, O Allah, save us. This is similar to as someone who asks, help me. Rather, coming under the protection of Allah is at a higher level, as He is the only one who can save us. There is tawheed in this as well, because we only ask the protection from the one we know who can save us, and we do not ask from anyone else. So in this world, there is no escape from pain or difficulty. No matter how rich someone is, no matter how big a leader, a king someone is, if he is wealthy or even a prophet or wali of Allah, some form of hurt or suffering or difficulty reaches for sure to everyone. It could be in the form of enemies, or in the form of shaitan, the accursed, in the form of sickness, or any other way. Whatever difficulty or pain reached us or will reach us, we seek refuge in Allah from all of them. It cannot be that no harm and hurt ever reaches a person. Even if it is the awliya of Allah, it can reach anyone at any time. This is because Allah made this world such a place. As if there is happiness today, we will find sadness sometimes later. Or if there are no problems today, a trouble or troubles may arise in the future. People face ups and downs in different ways in their life. There is only one place where there is eternal happiness and tranquility and ease, and that is Jannah. Then there is an eternal place where there is eternal pain, misery, and grief, and that is Jahannam or Hell. This world is a combination of both. Sometimes there is happiness, sometimes sadness, sometimes pain, sometimes good health, just as the weather doesn't stay the same. Here today, if a person is in one state, then tomorrow he may be facing something else. So when the pain comes, or if it hasn't come yet, turn to his Creator and come under his protection. So we ask, O Allah, I seek your protection from the evil of everything that was created. What is included in ma khalaq? It includes all that Allah created, mankind, the jinn, the animals, the birds, all kinds of creatures. Everything is included, all that which we know about and all that which we do not have knowledge of. So in ma khalaq, everything is included. So we ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from the evil of all that He created. There are many things humans do not even know about, such as certain germs. Who created them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah from the evil of the germs, and this includes certain bacteria and infectious diseases. When we think of man sharri ma khalaq, we only think of a few things, including the shaytan, rather evil of everything, no matter what it is. If we only see good in something, we should know it also has a bad aspect in it. So we ask for protection from the evil of anything that can reach us. So everything that has its evil, we seek refuge from it. We recite these surahs in our salah and at night before we go to sleep. So we should know what they mean. When we seek protection from Allah, then what happens? From the two things, one will happen for sure. This is a promise of Allah. So the first thing that could happen when we recite these surahs is that the trouble will be averted or the suffering will be removed. For example, if we were stung by a bug or became ill from something, or if we faced hurt or a loss from any of the creatures of the earth, or if it was an attack of the shaytan, or there was magic done upon by someone. It can be any form of evil. So from these surahs, the pain will be removed. Number two, instead of it being removed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward greatly due to the suffering from the hurt. When someone is patient with the harm that reaches them and knows it was from the qadr or decree of Allah and does not complain about it but accepts it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward for the injury or the hurt or the suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reward of those who are patient in the Quran. It is without any measure. In a hadith, it is mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever endures with patience and believes in the hereafter, when they are being rewarded for the pains or difficulties in the hereafter, those who will see them being rewarded will wish that their skins had been cut with scissors and were patient so they could earn the same reward earned by the ones who were patient in this world. When they see the magnificent reward for those who were patient, this is the difference between a believer and a disbeliever. A disbeliever doesn't believe in Allah nor seeks His protection. When he is faced with pain and hardship, he complains and becomes impatient and may use vile language. While a true believer, when he is faced with pain, then he remains content with the decree of Allah and doesn't complain nor shows impatience. Rather, he supplicates to Allah, says, O Allah, I am weak and not strong to endure this suffering, and asks for the suffering to be removed, or asks for a great reward in his place, and seeks refuge in Allah, subhanallah. So say, Qul, all the difficulty that has reached you, or that which we fear will reach us. In both circumstances, we should say, Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, min sharri ma khalaq. Turn to Allah. This is what we are taught. No matter where the harm is coming from, it could be coming from other people or shaitan. But how do people face harm from other people? For example, relations, or when a person faces financial difficulty or conditions, or becomes sick. In every condition is included in man sharri ma khalaq. In every condition, a person should come under Allah's protection. And we learn, no matter what type of evil it is, a difficulty it is, or a harm it is, any pain, grief, or worry, or suffering, come under the protection of Allah. In this surah, protection of Allah is sought and asked, Then he gives it to us. Also, no matter what sadness or grief a person faces, they should not forget this surah. Next, وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِكٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ, and from the evil of darkness when it spreads. So is the darkness not from مَا شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ? It is, as darkness is from all that Allah created. But three things are specifically mentioned separately, such as نَفَّاثَاتِ is included, so is حَاسِدٍ and غَاسِكٍ. But why are these things mentioned separately? Because they are evil and harm, and the harm they cause is great. We will look at darkness in three aspects. First of all, darkness when it occurs at night. All types of evil crimes, criminals, corruption, even wild animals come out at night. As long ago, there was a case where some kids were sleeping in an upper apartment, and on the first floor was a pet store. A boa constrictor snake somehow escaped from the pet store and crawled up the vent and strangled the sleeping kids in the apartment, killing both children. This happened at night when everyone was asleep. And similarly, at night, many people get scared that a bug doesn't crawl up on them and sting them. مِن شَرِّ غَاسِكٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ includes everything, anything harmful that becomes active at night. In the darkness, the shayateen become active, the criminals become active, or anything else in the nature. Also, people who do black magic do it at night. They do it actively at night, when they can contact the devils at that time. So all these things are included. So we are taught to seek protection of Allah from the darkness. The second meaning of darkness is not just when the sun sets and it becomes dark. Darkness is also referred for every bad and evil deed. Every type of oppression is a darkness. Every sin is a darkness. Every act of disobedience of Allah is a darkness. Every act of crossing limits and corruption are all darknesses. Az-Zulumat. So we are taught, if it ever happens that someone is overcome by any of these darknesses or fears falling into sin, then they should seek protection from Allah. And in this, we ask for Allah to protect us from falling into these sins and its darknesses, and the darknesses of bad deeds and zulm. In a hadith, zulm is called the darkness. Instead of complaining and talking about all the bad things that happen or all the indecencies that are taking place, we should come under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we seek protection of Allah from all the evils that arise from all the darknesses. If we look at our societies today, all we see is darknesses. We find the darkness of disbelief, shirk, and darknesses of bad deeds. So from all these, we gain the protection of Allah from reading these surahs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us to come under His protection, under His mercy, because only He can protect us from the darknesses. He is the most mighty who can protect us from all evils. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, whoever held on to His firm handhold, then not any breaking for it. So instead of complaining about all the bad, come under the protection of Allah. Then, the third meaning in Ghasikin means moon. This is also from a hadith. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam took her hand and looked to the moon and said, O Aisha, seek the protection of Allah from the evil of the Ghasik when it declines. So if Ghasik is understood to be the moon, then what does Idha Waqab mean? When it loses its luster and disappears. as when the moon goes through its various phases, it has certain effects. And in some phases of the moon, the crime rate increases. Therefore, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is also included in min sharri ghasikin idha waqab. So when we recite this surah, we sought the protection for so many evils. We sought refuge from one most mighty. All the evils are small in comparison to his might. And when we seek his protection, we are guarded. وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. And from the evil of those women who blow on the knots. The women who used to practice black magic would make knots and blow on them with their words of black magic. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from protection from this evil as well, as those who did black magic on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could be implied because they were daughters of Walid bin Asim, who obeyed their father and did the magic. Secondly, women are usually involved in doing it and having it done. And this happens when their faith in Allah and the hereafter weakens. Even today, we find mostly women going to these amil men who do sorcery. Therefore, an-nafathati are the women who blow, as mentioned. Third, it could also refer to men, not just women, but the feminine form of the word is used because the soul is feminine. So it may be the attribute of the nafus. Then, min sharrin nafathati fil uqad. So we seek protection from those who do black magic, whether it be men or women. From these surahs, we gain the protection of Allah from these evils as well. And no one needs to resort to black magic to break the effect of black magic done upon by someone else. Doing any black magic is a major sin, from the kaba'ir sins. Only if we mention the name of Allah and do ruqya on someone, that is allowed. As we learn, we recite these surahs and blow on our cupped hands and wipe all over the body. Or even in tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, we learned that a companion did ruqya with the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. That is okay. But these mentioned in An-Nafathati who blow are different. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. And from the evil of the envier when he envied. So we need to seek protection from the envy of an envier. Envy or jealousy is very bad, so much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it separately. Even the black magic that was done upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was out of envy. Because the Yahud and the Munafiq would feel extremely jealous of Muslims who were gaining power. This is why they resorted to doing black magic upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learn that envy and jealousy don't just stay in the heart, but people start acting upon it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many who were jealous of him. So this is specifically said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is hasad or envy? It is a feeling of resentment aroused by others' blessings and have a deep desire for the blessing or the blessings to be taken away from one envied or wish for them to face a loss. Whether the envier gets the blessings or not, but wishes that it is taken away from the one envied. Being envious is haram and a major sin, and this was the first sin committed in the heavens and the first sin committed on earth. How? When Shaitan became envious of Adam alayhi salam when he was created, and then on the earth when one son of Adam alayhi salam, Qabil, became envious of his brother Habil. Also brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were envious of Yusuf alayhi salam. Envy takes a person into sin. Therefore, we should seek protection of Allah from this envy. We see how the envy of brothers of Yusuf took Yusuf alayhi salam to the well. Habil was killed by his own brother Qabil out of envy. And this was the envy that caused Adam alayhi salam to be expelled from Jannah. Envy is very evil and brings harms to one who is envied, just as black magic causes the harm. But when one comes in the protection of Allah, then no harm can reach the person. And this protection is very important because it is very hard to see who is envious. There is no benefit in trying to blame that so-and-so envies me, but to recite these surahs so a person is protected from the envy. Verily, the protection of Allah is a big protection, and there is no need to fear harm from anyone. No one can break the protection of Allah, just as some countries give asylums to certain people, and the people who are granted asylum feel protected. This is only the protection of a country. The one who came under the protection of Allah Almighty is a big protection, and no evil or harm can hurt them. Therefore, even envy of an envier requires the protection of Allah. Some people feel jealous of someone because of their popularity. Many times, a person who is jealous doesn't know it himself or herself. The person could be practicing the deen, but the feelings of envy are born in their heart, and they wish for the one with success to lose their success and to become disgraced. Sometimes having envy of others due to wealth or why the other person's daughter has a better marriage proposal. If the person wishes that the one envied loses the blessings, then this means there is envy in the heart. Or if someone is beloved by others, and then the person wishes for that person to be hated instead. This is envy, and this is a very bad illness, because this wishing ill for others out of envy devours the good deeds just as fire consumes wood. Because of this envy, the person resorts to bad mouthing and looks for ways to cause harm to the person they envy. They also resort to backbiting or mocking them among other people, or speak in an ill manner about them, or show an attitude to them. People get jealous if someone gets a promotion or gets a new car, and if the person gets into a car accident, they get comforted by it. Envy is out of jealousy for the blessing others have. However, if a person sees someone else getting a blessing, then they ask Allah for the same blessing, then this is okay. To want for the other person as well as wanting for oneself. But it is envy if do not want the other person to have that blessing that they are bestowed with. So what should a person do if they sense envy creeping in themselves? Sometimes it comes unconsciously, but it is a dangerous matter. And feel envy if someone is successful, then we learned from Imam Al-Ghazali that immediately recognize it as an evil and do istighfar to Allah to seek Allah's forgiveness and make dua for the one who is envied. A person should pray to Allah for them to increase in their blessings. If it is envy due to their wealth, then the person should supplicate to Allah for them to be increased in it. And if it is envy out of popularity and success, the person should pray to Allah to increase them in it. Doing this is very difficult because the one who envies already has strong negative feelings, but they have to do it, even if they have to go against their own self. They have to take the bitter medicine. Then the third thing they should do is commend them in the company of other people. The shaitan who instilled those negative feelings of envy and jealousy to begin with will run away humiliated. After doing these three things, this feeling of envy will go away. No one can say, "I never feel jealous or envious of anyone." It is something that can creep in a person unconsciously. What about the one who is being envied? The person received the blessing. The evil from the blessing is it made others jealous. Subhanallah. As soon as a person receives the blessing, it caused some people to have feelings of jealousy and resentment for the blessing. Therefore, seek the protection of Allah. We see that this is part of Min Sharri Ma Khalaq, so the one who is envied should recite this surah so he is not affected by the envy of others and has to be patient. May Allah save us from the feelings of jealousy, as it destroys man and his good deeds. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد